InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border. It's the border between depraved autocracy and freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way of life. Do we have a stake in that outcome? Yes. Undeniably, yes. Will we rise to the occasion? Will we stand shoulder to shoulder with our Ukrainian brothers and sisters who for 1,151 days have been holding off the depraved, thuggish dictator Vladimir Putin, who has respected no norms of warfare? He's targeted children in hospitals and schools. He's bombed apartment blocks, killing thousands.
That's not true. Here they are waving their Ukrainian flags, the Democrats.
Bushman, Conant, does Speaker Johnson deserve credit for how this played out?
He does. Look, we came into Congress together, and he always cared about civility. He actually led the civility pledge.
That's right. Yeah.
We had one issue, which was give individual votes. Don't lump things together. And I give him credit for doing this. I would actually vote to table any motion to vacate him. You know, Chairman McCaul quoted Churchill. One of the things Churchill said is that America always exhausted every wrong option until doing the right thing. Yeah. And this shows that American democracy still is very strong.
Okay, you just said something significant. You said you would oppose the motion to vacate. In other words, you will protect Speaker Johnson's job if Marjorie Taylor Greene and the others go through with their threat to try to remove him.
I would, through the end of the term. I expect Speaker Pelosi, Jeffers will be there in 2025. But look, and I'm a progressive Democrat, and I think you would have a few progressive Democrats doing that. And I disagree with Speaker Johnson on many issues and have been very critical of him. But he did the right thing here, and he deserves to keep his job till the end of this term.
So Speaker Johnson is now the Speaker for the Democratic Party with 197 days left to the most important election in world history. And we've got the Democrats and some Republicans waving Ukrainian flags. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene posted on X a photo of flag-draped coffins. They're draped with the American flag. That's why we fly the American flag, not the Ukrainian flag. House passes Ukraine funding bill on Adolf Hitler's birthday. Of course, their main military force, the Azov battalions, are admitted hardcore Nazis. The Canadian Parliament hailed an actual SS 99-year-old officer that actually took place in massacres of Jews and Poles and others. One famous event where they killed 30,000 Poles and Jewish Poles and other Poles in a two-day period and put them in a giant pit in the park in one of their cities. He actually took part in that, and he gets a standing ovation, and they sit there and talk for like an hour about how great he fought the Russians in World War II. Well, we know who fought the Russians in World War II, at least if you've got fifth grade education in history, you do, or I guess people don't anymore. For those that don't know, the Russians were the main group fighting the Nazis in World War II. 26 million dead Russians, 24 million dead Germans. The numbers vary. Big broadcast lineup today. Stay with us. It's Sunday, April 21st, 2024. I'm Alex Jones, your host. I want to thank you all for joining us on this live Sunday transmission. A very interesting and extremely popular young talk show host who was here interviewing me Saturday, who's been a guest before, Jackson Hinkle. We'll be in studio coming up in about 30 minutes from now for the balance of the Sunday show. And then we have Sunday Night Live with Chase Geyser, 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, coming up this evening in a little under 2 hours. Okay. Congress passed the ultra-massive spending package yesterday. And they took time away from their normal insider trading to pass a $95.3 billion spending package with $60 billion for Ukraine, $21 billion for Israel, billions for Hamas, because that's who gets it in Gaza. So our government funding both sides as usual. And it's $9 plus billion to stir up conflict with China. So for Southeast Asia and the South China Sea, absolutely insane. And there's so many clips here that it makes my head spin that are just insane. We have Democrats, multiple clips, representatives like Gary Conley of Virginia. This was a talking point. Several of them said this, saying, we've got to secure Ukraine's border. It's our border. That was over $1 billion in the overall package of the $60 billion to Ukraine to secure their border. Places like Belarus, but not our border, and not to stop the human trafficking and sex slavery and massive crime wave. It's just staggering how the deep state Democrats working with the Republican establishment, because Trump and the what's the progeny of the Tea Party, has a beachhead in the Republican Party and is taking it over. I'd say the Republican Party is about 70% taken over by populist patriots, but it's such narrow majority when it comes to the Democrats in Congress, in the House, that they're able to team up with the Democrats and then outvote the Republicans. And that's what happened. So the Republicans were doing a pretty good job the last, 3 months? They've been holding up the... First, it was a $200 billion bill, then it was a $60 billion bill. But after the Iran attack with those missiles a week ago, they were able to ram through, going, we've got to get Israel more missiles for their Iron Dome. And I'm all for Israel having missiles for their Iron Dome, but Israel per capita is way wealthier than us. You know, imagine if it was $30 billion for America and, you know, $20 billion for Israel and $30 billion for Ukraine. But no, it's $60 billion for Ukraine and $20-something billion for Israel and $9 billion to stir up trouble in the South China Sea. And not one red penny, not 1 cent, not one dime, with old Eisenhower on it. Not one dime, not one quarter with good old George Washington on it, not one Benjamin Franklin, not a $100 bill, zero, 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 zero forever. Unbelievable. This country is falling apart. Inflation is out of control. The border is completely dissolved, and it's all Cloward and Piven. I'm going to play a very powerful, concise 5-minute video in a few minutes of a talk show host who I've been a fan of for years, and he's been in studio before, interviewed me, but I don't know why I never interviewed him. Mark Moss really concisely knocked it out of the park on Cloward and Piven. And of course, governments have tried to collapse things before to bring in tyranny. It's not like they invented this, but their plan has been adopted since the 70s, developed in the 60s, by the Democratic leadership, and Klaus Schwab's adopted it with the WEF and the UN, and they admit they're collapsing society to build back better in the Great Reset. So it's a big deal, but these are staggering clips, and I've got a bunch of them. I'm just going to play three of them. First, let's play, as I mentioned it, and unlike the corporate media, they'll say something about me and then never show me actually saying it, or they'll show another clip that isn't me saying it. When I tell you something, I like to show it to you. So here's one of the clips, Representative Gary Conley, a Virginia Democrat, arrogantly saying Ukraine's border is our border. Here it is.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border. It's the border between depraved autocracy and freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way of life. Do we have a stake in that outcome? Yes. Undeniably, yes. Will we rise to the occasion? Will we stand shoulder to shoulder with our Ukrainian brothers and sisters who for 1,151 days have been holding off the depraved, thuggish dictator Vladimir Putin, who has respected no norms of warfare. He's targeted children in hospitals and schools. He's bombed apartment blocks, killing thousands.
That's not true. I actually looked that up when I saw that yesterday. It's estimated about 300 people have died from collateral damage in Ukraine, which is the craziest accuracy I've ever seen. The Pentagon estimates that half of the munitions being dropped on Gaza are not smart. I mean, they're not even going after a specific group. It's just they blow whole buildings up, and they're just a bomb you drop from 10,000 feet. That's collateral damage, though, when Israel does it. And I'm not even defending Russia. That's not my job. I'm an America First guy. But the West started this fight with the Russians. That's on record. You don't believe me, go look up. George Soros says he engineered civil war in Ukraine. CNN, Fareed Zakaria. It comes right up. George Soros, Fareed Zakaria, Ukraine war. He only went on once like 8 years ago, 2 years after he did it. He said, with the State Department, I got $5 billion and we overthrew that government and now we are causing a proxy war and I will soon be the Tsar of Russia. Russia has not invaded anybody since the mid-1970s when they invaded Afghanistan. And it's now been declassified that the U.S. government was funding the Afghans to start attacking into provinces outside of Afghanistan, north into areas of Russia areas, Russia-controlled areas. And the Russians walked into a CIA trap. It wasn't launched by Reagan, as the media gives him credit. It was Zbigniew Brzezinski and Jimmy Carter that did that. And that took the Taliban and bin Laden. And, you know, bin Laden worked for the CIA. Don't believe me? Just type in bin Laden worked for the CIA. You'll get, like, BBC, AP, Reuters. That's a fact. You won't get it by clicking news. You're going to click web and find the old articles. But it's there. So my point is, this is the best enemies money can buy. And then Russia, on the invite 8 years ago, 7 years ago, of the Syrians, as soon as Trump got in, because Trump said, sure, I'm against, you know, ISIS, which is Al-Qaeda. So the U.S. said, we're not going to attack if the Russians go in. The Russians went in with heavy casualties on the ground and the air and took out ISIS over 3 years. And the Pentagon got caught behind Trump's back aiding ISIS. That came out in Congress. Remember, Trump used to say that Obama is the father of ISIS. He literally is. He funded the Muslim Brotherhood, the Arab Spring. I mean, all of that was our government blowing up churches, but taking over our allies in Egypt, working with radical Islam, just like the left does today. So it's not that I'm against Israel. I'm against funding both sides and then bringing all the Islamists here for further destabilization. There's a larger plan going on, and I'm not just looking at it as one side's good, one side's bad. The globalists are funding both sides. Now, Moscow has issued a dire warning after Ukraine aid bill of $60-plus billion, saying this is terrorism. Ukraine's been launching thousands of drone attacks on our civilian cities and killing thousands of Russians and in civilians. It's the other way around from what the congressman said. And we're going to really start getting serious when you do that. So we're just marching towards World War III, and I would really like to not see that happen. Now here's the next chilling clip. And this is another congressman. This is Representative Khanna tells John Carl that he would vote to support Speaker Mike Johnson. The Republicans tried to remove him for securing Ukrainian aid, which they admit most of it gets laundered back to the Democratic Party and then some Republicans. I mean, don't think for a minute the Republican leadership. I mean, Johnson's turned out to be as bad as I thought he was. I mean, he looks like a Chucky doll with black hair. I mean, he just radiates devil energy to me. I don't know how anybody can't look at a Governor Newsom, and not just his actions, but the way he looks. I mean, my skin crawls. You see the evil coming out. I mean, when somebody walks around all the time, I mean, you got a problem. Holy Spirit, me goes, danger, Will Robinson. And nothing against Joel Osteen, but I mean, I get the same thing. I watch that guy. My skin crawls. Hillary Clinton really does it with that big demon face she makes. I mean, I can't even make the face. I'm not demon possessed. And then you've got Brian Stelter really almost broke the meter on demon energy. But then there's the actions that come out of these people. And that's really why you know they're evil. You judge a tree by its fruits. But here he is saying that basically Speaker Johnson is now the Democrat Party Speaker, and they're going to override any Republican votes now and vote for him. And they win either way because the Republicans are going to get pissed. The Marjorie Taylor Greens and others have been proven right, are going to vacate the chair and remove him soon. I predict the next month. And then he will leave just like his predecessor just quit. Kevin McCarthy and all these other, it was like 15, 16 Republicans have quit in the last year alone. They got one more person in the majority, and then it goes the Democrats. So they'll have the House by supporting Johnson, who you better believe just got some special stock picks. He's about to make $100 million. It's like the Attorney General in New York went into office worth $30,000. Look it up in her tax filings and her public disclosures. And after a couple of years in office, guess how much Letitia James is worth? Last time I checked, upwards of $40 million. How do you do that on a salary of a couple hundred grand? I'd like somebody to tell me how Dan Crenshaw went to Congress with no money and is now worth massive amounts. I mean, it's all the same. Remember 15 years ago, Congress got in trouble for insider trading? So they passed a law to insider trade. As long as they disclose on a form that comes out a month after the trade, when no one else can use the information, as long as they disclose, they're allowed to do it. It's like a license to kill. As long as I tell you later I did something wrong, it's okay. So I'm going to say this again. I'm going to play this clip. 95.3 billion dollars. When this country, for the general average person, because I've got a lot of family that have multiple college degrees, basically they all do, and most of them are veterans, and they work for power companies, and they work for school districts, and they work in law enforcement, and they work in, you name it, professional jobs, and I got a big family on both sides, and I see them all three or four times a year, and I'll talk to them, and they come to dinner for like an hour and a half. They go, sorry, I got to go to work. And I go, where are you going? Oh, I got a second job. We own a gas station. Stuff like, you're like, how much you make? Not much, but it allows us to go on trips and save some money. But that's how they are. I mean, they love working 14 hours a day, but they weren't doing that 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And all of my family, including family that are doctors, not my dad, other family that's doctors, have to work 60 hours a week. I mean, unless you're some rock star plastic surgeon or some brain surgeon, you know, the top surgeons, they can command whatever they want. Those guys are making $10 million a year. But the average dentist, the average doctor, the average MD is making a few hundred grand a year. And you know their liability insurance is like 30 grand a year. And there's all these other expenses and everything else. Most doctors don't even start making money until they're 35 paying off the student loans. So all I'm saying is I don't need to read the news that tells me the economy's great. I talk to people on the street. I look at the numbers. You're out there listening. You're like, yeah, we hear you. And all of my family is working more than they've ever worked. And they've got college degrees and honorable discharges. And they're managers. And they've all got two jobs at least. And that's not counting the other jobs they do. The other, you know, we have a family farm, family ranches. And running cows and planting Christmas trees and stuff just pays the taxes. And so sometimes they're up at 10 o'clock at night baling hay, and they love it. God love them. But the point is, you compare that when they're driving around, you know, with a tractor and its lights on, to the average millennial sitting around with their thumb up their rear end. And you can criticize boomers all day, but a lot of them are lazy, a lot of them are hardworking, and then the people right behind the boomers, Gen Xers, I'm seeing the statistics, and I'm not saying everybody young is bad, but the numbers are clear. The millennials are the most lazy generation ever seen. They have no aspiration on average. Some are great. And you get into the Gen Z people, and I mean, it's just a freak show. An absolute freak show. No connection reality. I mean, I remember being like 12 years old saying, I want a new pair of tennis shoes. My dad said, get up and get a job. And I remember about 12 years old sitting at the Easy Mart. He was pumping gas. He said, go in and get me a coffee and blah, blah, blah. We're going to go out on the boat or something. My dad said, if you want new tennis shoes, you need to get a job. So he'd buy me like two pairs of shoes a year, which is great looking back on it because I had to figure stuff out. I remember going to my dad. So I've been reading the newspaper back then. I go, well, actually, there's child labor laws. He laughed. And he said, well, I don't think it precludes that. And about a day later, he goes, I looked it up. You're right. He goes, you won the $100 bet. I had a $100 bet with him. But he said, now here's your $100. But he said, you're really in trouble now. And I said, I don't know how to get a job. So he put me in the car and drove to the marina in the neighborhood, speaking of boats, marches me into the old World War II vet or whatever it was, wasn't that old then, behind the counter, and goes, my son, he's learning how to work. Will you hire him here? And he goes, yeah, I'll hire minimum wage. You say so, Mr. Jones, blah, blah, blah. How many days a week you want to work? Well, I want him to work after school, you know, during the months and then some in the summer, and I'd like to be able to have a few weeks off when we go on vacation, but that's great. He'll be here. What do you want him to do? And he goes, I'll put him to work power washing. And then as soon as I was power washing and go get the keys of this or bring that over here, get in this golf cart and drive over here and do this, all of a sudden I had all these people that were in this wealthy area of Dallas seeing a kid work, and they're like, hey, who are you? Who are your parents? You want a job? You want to come mow my yard? Then all of a sudden I was mowing people's yards. And see, that's why I know people that have worked know this. You're like, why are you telling me something we already know? Because a lot of people don't know this, folks. A lot of people, speak of the devil, that's my middle daughter calling me. They don't know how this works. Like you don't just go get a minimum wage job. You go get it. And when you work hard, you get promoted. I remember I only had a few fast food jobs. And the reason I quit them was within 2 months at the two fast food jobs I had. I had three. Every time within 2 months, I was the manager. Oh, I was getting double the money, but it meant they wanted 60, 70 hours a week. And when you're 17, 18, bossing around 25-year-olds, it doesn't go well. And I didn't like telling people to get their asses in gear and pay attention at the ice cream shop and the two hamburger places I worked. But I'm digressing, and I'm sorry. As you get older, you get more and more nostalgic. But the only bad part about working in the marina was that's when I started drinking at 12. Because the old World War II vets, there was a couple of them that managed it, and I guess they owned it. They were always giving me Coors Lights. Wow, you worked really hard. You just cleaned 14 boats today, boy. Get over here and have a Coors Light with me. Then it'd be like, I'm going fishing at 5 a.m. tomorrow. I'm going to catch catfish. You ready to go? And, man, it's the coolest thing hanging out with those old men. But then it's 5 a.m. They're trying to get you to drink Coors Light. So, I don't know. Some will say it's good to shelter your children. Of course, I looked like I was 15 when I was 12. I'm done talking about that. Let's go to this disgusting, traitorous clip of them openly saying Mike Johnson's owned by the Democrats and they're going to outvote the Republicans now. This makes McCarthy look like an angel cake. Here it is.
Congressman Conant, does Speaker Johnson deserve credit for how this played out?
He does. Look, we came into Congress together, and he always cared about civility. He actually led the civility
That's
pledge.
Right. Yeah.
We had one issue, which was give individual votes. Don't lump things together. And I give him credit for doing this. I would actually vote to table any motion to vacate him. You know, Chairman McCaul quoted Churchill. One of the things Churchill said is that America always exhausted every wrong option until doing the right thing. Yeah. And this shows that American democracy still is very strong.
Okay, you just said something significant. You said you would oppose the motion to vacate. In other words, you will protect Speaker Johnson's job if Marjorie Taylor Greene and the others go through with their threat to try to remove him.
I would, through the end of the term. I expect Speaker Pelosi, Jeffries will be there in 2025. But look, and I'm a progressive Democrat, and I think you would have a few progressive Democrats doing that. And I disagree with Speaker Johnson on many issues, and I've been very critical of him. But he did the right thing here, and he deserves to keep his job till the end of this term.
All right, and we are back live broadcasting worldwide. We're going to go to break here in a couple minutes. I'm going to come back and really put my, not blinders on, but it is like blinders. Ignore all the stuff that doesn't matter and focus on what is important. And we are loaded for bear. We got a special guest, Jackson Hinkle, coming into studio, and we've got the waterfront to cover here. But what a spectacularly disgusting clip. And you heard him. Yeah, and now the Republicans will be so pissed we'll lose the House. No, don't be pissed. Go vote for MAGA. Go vote for Patriots. We're getting more and more good people each time. It's a process. We're winning. We're on the march. And we're revealing the stuff that's happening. But Speaker Johnson, on a satanic scale, just when I look at him, is about an 8 out of 10. And that's saying a lot. I mean, Newsom's like a 9. Hillary's about a 9.5 because it shines through so bad on Ryan Stelter's about a 9.5, as high as we've seen. I mean, that guy's a walking demon, poltergeist. He's a star in the new Exorcist movie. And then you got people like Hillary. You know, she's a 10.7. She actually breaks the scale. But we're going to get serious, come back with our guests and plow through it all today. But hey, $90 billion for other countries and war and death. Nothing for our veterans. Nothing for our people. Nothing but pain. Yep, we're getting gang raped. Stay with us, InfoWars.com. Well, in the last 3 years, Jackson Hinkle has exploded onto the scene, reaching tens of millions of people a day and with more ex-followers than I have. You can find him at Jackson Hinkle, like the German bomber, on X. Man, we've got a lot. I want to cover a lot of news with you, get your take on a whole host of subjects. You interviewed me Saturday. It's great to have you here. When is that going to air?
I think in about 2-3 days, we'll have it up on X and Rumble, and it was a great conversation, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you're a good interviewer, and unlike me, you let people talk. What do you want to tackle first? A lot of people know who you are. Some people watching or listening on radio stations may not know. You've been on air 3 years. You've exploded. You reach like 10 million people a day, I would say, conservatively. I've been watching you for a while. You've been on as a guest before. What makes you tick? You've got very eclectic political views as well.
Well, foreign policy has always been an interest of mine. There's no reason why we should be spending billions of dollars on these wars when our country's falling apart. But I think just over the course of the Biden administration, it's gotten so bad, so violent, so bloody that people all across the country have woken up to the truth. And that's why there's been this surge in, people looking for that sort of content. But overall, multipolarity, foreign policy, ending the wars, and ending this illegal surveillance state that is now coming after you. We saw the CIA this week coming after you in the leaked footage. That was crazy.
And I knew that all along. I mean, that was the chief counsel of the FBI admitted he initiated all this psychological warfare operation against me. And so I'm just honored they did it. I mean, crazy.
Yeah, they always admit the truth. I was just listening to the end of that Tucker Carlson episode on Joe Rogan, and he was
huge talking, interview.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy what he said about you. It's true what he said about you, but also it was very interesting what he said about the deep state coup against Richard Nixon.
Most popular president since George Washington.
Yes, yes, and it 100% was a deep state coup.
Like he had like 69% of the vote.
Yeah, yeah.
Black people, white people, they all loved him.
Yeah, and everyone knows what happens. He was, you know, he was making peace all around the world with the country. Well, not all around the world, but with countries like China, for example. And he was doing things that the deep state didn't like.
And the economy was roaring. And within 6 months of him out of office, they tanked the economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They tanked the economy, and then they went on to start even more wars and continue the wars and do all that. And, you know, he was an outsider. He came from a poor family. He came from Whittier, California, I think it was.
Absolutely.
And
farmers.
Yeah, he was an outsider, 100%. You see that again with Donald Trump today. They just cannot tolerate that.
Well, he thought he was really the president, and he worked 18 hours a day and was smarter than them. They didn't like that. He was not an Ivy Leaguer.
No, no. But he was very intelligent, and he was surrounded by intelligent men. I mean, Henry Kissinger's On China is one of the most thorough books I've ever read about, you know, U.S.-Chinese relations, Chinese diplomacy. And, I mean, you just don't see statesmen like that in the White House anymore.
And by the way, as bad as Kissinger was in ways, he was smart. He said the Ukraine war should end 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're not going to win this without World War III.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there, so just take it off the table.
Yeah. I think there's a good distinction there. I mean, he thought he was doing everything for the best of the United States, and sometimes that landed us in very bloody conflicts that we probably didn't need to be in. But you can't take away that he was an extremely intelligent man, and that even lasted till he was like 100 years old.
And he knew the only way to win is nuclear war, and then no one wins. So he said, stop it now in Ukraine. People, there's a threat continuation ladder, and we're going up it towards total war. And we go, oh, you're a traitor. You don't want war with Russia. It has to stop.
I think they're okay with that. I mean, we saw the Anglos, we saw the Dulles brothers, George Bush family fund the rise of Hitler and with the goal of taking out the Russian Empire and wiping out Russian society. So when you look at the people that came before the current generation of politicians, it's not surprising what they're doing.
By the way, you show your knowledge of history, which most people don't have. Putin calls them the Anglos, because that's the name of the group. It doesn't mean white people. It's the Anglo-American Empire. That's Churchill's name for it. Mm. And when Putin talks, he calls it directly out, and that's where we are.
Yeah, yeah. And it's 100% where we are. It's the city of London and Wall Street funding all of this madness, and history hasn't changed a whole lot from the end of World War II. You know, the end of World War II, Stalin was worried that the United States was going to drop the bomb on the Soviet Union. So he sent the elite Soviet paratroopers to the west of the Soviet Union for a potential invasion of the United States down through Alaska. And history really hasn't changed all that much since then. It's the same goals.
What do you really think of Putin? Because they're genuinely mad at him, because like Nixon, he's actually the leader. He's been very, very restrained, but they're getting more and more enraged with him, trying to push him, I guess, by the terror attack at the theater, the Crocus Theater, and the rest of it. They're trying to push him by triggering hardline Russians to try to force him into a wider war. I think he's been extremely restrained.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, they all know that if they get rid of Putin, you're just going to have someone that's more of a hardline anti-Western figure that rises to power. I mean, you can look at Dmitry Medvedev, the former president of Russia, and that guy is like Putin's rabid dog spokesman. He's very anti-West in his tone. And Putin is a guy that tried to join the EU. He's a guy that tried to join NATO.
Like they say, oh, he's evil because he went to the WEF, or he went to the power. He tried to get Russia into the system.
Yeah.
He said that in speeches. He said, I've tried to work with you. We've got all these resources. All you want's war.
Yeah.
And you want to cut our son's dicks off.
And you can look back to the Munich speech he gave like in 2010, I think it was 2008, 2010, where he was talking to all the world leaders in the front row. You know, you had chancellors, presidents, France, Germany there. And he was essentially just warning them that this is the path you're taking us down. We don't have to go down this path. We could go down a peaceful path. But I think Putin is an extremely intelligent man. You know, he's part of the KGB, and everyone knows the Soviet Union, if you were part of the KGB, you were the smartest, you were the most well-read. And he learned German in 6 months, completely fluent, learned the accent, everything, and then went on to become he is the kingpin of the geopolitical world right now, with all these power struggles taking place, the end of the U.S. dollar. It's concerning as an American, because we have such silly people running our country. And then you look at Russia or China, whatever you think about those leaders, they are very intelligent and they are very skilled at, you know, the methods of governance and warfare that they need to employ to come out on top in this changing world order.
Well, let's be clear. The puppets like Biden that can't find their ass in both hands is because the globalists want a puppet to blame. The groups above it promote liberal silliness because they want us weak, because they want to conquer us, who they already think they control, so they can export that Satanism to weaken everybody else around the world. Mm-hmm. So people look at the West and go, God, it's poison. Well, yeah, it's poison in the fangs of the cobra ready to be injected into the rest of the world. America, if you look at how communists operated, you know, first they demoralize and they destabilize and they take over. And then once they take over, they exploit the country they have against the next country. America now is nothing but a cobra with loaded fangs against the world. So we look at how horrible it is to see what's happening. Well, yeah, we're being set up as a snake to attack and bite everybody else.
Well, I mean, each country is a different scenario, but I think you look at the Russian Empire, and I mean, there was no reason for them to be continuing their operations alongside the British in World War One. The country was in shambles. It was a feudal society. You had all these prostitution running rampant. And then you had the emperor that was still preaching Christianity, and the communists came in and they said, we're going to actually put the word of God into practice. And that's why the people united around them. And that's why they were so successful. But and then they got out of World War One and the British came in to try and invade them. But I think as a whole, you look at the new world that's developing with the new development bank behind BRICS. I think that's going to be a changing factor, a very large changing factor, because now you're not going to have the IMF and the World Bank and the Federal Reserve doing all this, you know, jerry rigging of countries, cultures and civilizations and telling them they're only going to give them loans if they agree to their trans, you know, rights or their LGBT rights or their racial policies. Now it's just going to be the new development bank, BRICS, saying we want to help you develop. We want to build your infrastructure. We want to give you low, you know, good structured loans. And that's going to leave the U.S. high and dry.
Well, Jackson, that's where we disagree. You know a lot of history, but if I look at communism and Karl Marx and Lenin and Engels and the rest of it, feudalism was ending around the world. And actually the big British intelligence and the banks funded communism and used it to take out the czars. They had the train of gold. And then you had massive persecution of the kulaks and everything that went on. And I understand that Stalin came along and got rid of Lenin and then got rid of Trotsky. Sure. So I would be honest, and our own government said he's Uncle Joe. At the beginning of World War II, he's our buddy. And then after the end of World War II, we turn and say he's baby Hitler or whatever. But, I mean, really looking at it, if you look at the intellectuals of the Communist Party, they were anti-God. They were just doing all these terrible, terrible things. You look at communist China with the drones and the lockdowns and the just the dehumanization and the unlimited genetic engineering and all of that. And then you sit there. I mean, communism from Marx and Engels being promoted by British intelligence, and it was the British that funded, and they sent, you know, 100,000 plus Russian Americans who were mainly Jewish. This is a historical fact. Over there in 1917 to overthrow the Tsar. So I'm not defending the white Russians or what the Tsarists were doing or the corruption that was already inherent in Russia. I understand all that, but it's like getting rid of apartheid and bringing in, you know, communists in South Africa and what's happened there. You like replace syphilis with brain cancer. Mm-hmm. So you call yourself a communist, but then you support Trump, but not even Russia and China are following what you would call orthodox communism. So how do you square that up?
Well, as for the historical record of the Soviets or the Bolshevik Revolution, rather, I mean, the British were directly opposed to them, and they funded the white movements. They funded the white army. And
they always fund both. Like, are you saying the West did not fund Lenin's train of gold?
No, I'm not aware of that. And you brought that up last time we talked, and I looked into
it. Well, no, you raised Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler and Anthony Sutton, the U.S. Senate historian. That's all true, and I've got clips of that. That's all true.
Yeah.
It's true that Brown Brother Harriman, the Bushes, Hitler, Operation Paperclip, British intelligence setting up Hitler to then double-cross him. They had a secret peace treaty.
Yeah.
Rudolf Hess trying to fly it. I mean, I've read literally, I used to be addicted to it. I barely sleep. I've read... it sounds ridiculous. I probably read 500 history books from a different angle. So you get a real knowledge reading them all.
Yeah.
And then reading the writings of Hitler and all the rest of it, talking to family that was there. So I agree with you. Hitler was really bad. It was also a setup. And Neville Chamberlain, all the rest of it was designed to appease, to suck him in. And Edward VIII was really a Nazi. He was the head of the EU and, you know, the King of England. And he had to advocate on over American woman. I know all those facts. But what I'm saying to you, and just run over me if you want, is that... why is corporate media promoting what you'd call communism? Why did the CFR back communist China till 10 years ago when they broke with them? I see Xi Jinping breaking with them and saying a three-child policy is good. That's why George Soros went from saying he's the best guy in the world 10 years ago to he's Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
So I get what you're saying, that the end-all, be-all of evil is not Xi Jinping, or certainly not Vladimir Putin. I don't see Russia doing anything China's doing. So I think out of all the countries in the world, Russia's being the most moral right now. I just say it as a fact. But... how, I mean, that's the history that's there, that the big universities promoting communism, all of this.
Well, I think we need to distinguish two things. You brought up Orthodox communism. What is that? It's not blue-haired liberals. It's not AOC. It's not Bernie Sanders. It's not this racial divide. It's not any of it's not, you know, we're just going to tax billionaires more. It's not any of that. It's looking at what are the fundamental problems of our country. We prioritize in our country right now. It's anti-growth politics.
So you see it as state-directed pro-populist views.
No, I see it as communism. I see it as nothing but that. I mean, you look at.
There's nothing more centralized. Okay, go ahead. I'm gonna shut up. Go ahead.
You say centralized. I think our country. I think our economy is centralized right now. I think it's a planned.
It's centralized totally economy. Crony capitalist fascist.
I think the difference is in a communist country, you plan the economy for the people and for the country to improve. In a country like we have today, I don't think you can really call it capitalism.
Well, Stalin was bad in my view and killed a lot of people, but Russia did leap forward from 95% being agrarian farmers to a high-tech titan in 50 years.
Yeah, it went from horse-drawn plows before Stalin to after Stalin having one of the most fierce, you know, militaries, nuclear bombs, and a developed society that's the foundation of Russia today. But
that's the power of humanity. I don't want to harness humanity like a horse. I want it to be free, and then on its own free will, it could pull 10 times the weight.
Well, there's always going to be people pulling and maneuvering. And
I'm going to shut up. I keep saying I am. Okay, I'm going to shut up for 5 minutes. Go ahead and tell us about communism.
What I was saying was, in America, in the West, you have an economy that's planned and oriented for the big banksters, for Wall Street, for the energy conglomerates, for big pharma to, you know, saddle their horse to pocket more cash. And ultimately, to achieve more control over the masses, to ultimately depopulate the countries. In a country like China or the Soviet Union, I mean, their goals are growth, 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 and prioritizing the people, at the fundamental point of their economy. It's not about prioritizing big banks. It's not about prioritizing anything other than the people. It's about making sure that people live better lives, more prosperous lives, have more free time, can have easier access to goods. I mean, I was just having a conversation with someone today. We were talking about the delivery systems in the United States versus the delivery systems in China, because I just got back from China a few months ago. In China, if you want any basic good, if you want a pen, if you want a hair dryer, whatever it may be, you order it and, you know, on their equivalent of Amazon, and it arrives from a guy on a moped within 10 minutes. In the United States, you have to wait 3 days to get something like that. So I think China is just showing that whatever they're doing is working. You can have critiques of Chinese culture, of their history, whatever. But since World War II, we've seen a handful of ideologies play out, a handful of different forms of government that have played out. And I think that ultimately, communism has proven to be the most successful. Meritocracy has proven to be the most successful. What we have in the United States is an abysmal failure, and it's about to implode right before our eyes.
Well, I don't debate with you that the current kleptocracy we have is corrupt, but I would not call it capitalism, but a form of corporate fascism using communism at the lower ranks to control people. And then to say communism delivers, it caused the Russian population to basically shrink. They had long food lines. You know, classical communism does not work. Barack Obama, before he left office, gave speeches all over the world where he said, well, we want to work with communist countries, with capitalist countries, and then we get the goods from them. And that just becomes a more form of planned economy centralization. So I think communist, fascist, all those are just interchangeable terms. We have command and control economies. And so just because we look at our corrupt system does not mean that we then endorse these other systems of Xi Jinping and Joseph Stalin.
Based on China's economic structure, it's just ultimately increase, the levers of production and make sure that, you know, manufacturing is at its peak and that these systems benefit the people as a whole. I mean, they lifted 840 million people out of poverty in the last 40 years.
And drones fly around.
So
telling you what to do.
Taking aside, well, I mean, I've been to China. I haven't seen any of that. I think China's lied about quite a bit. I didn't see any social credit scores. I didn't see any drones. I didn't see anything like that. But
China has a social credit score.
I didn't see it.
That's because you're a foreigner.
I think
you're not enrolled in it.
Vice News did the piece on the social credit score, and I just don't really believe anything Vice News has to say. But what do you think? Besides, put aside the surveillance.
Here's the deal: China was following the globalist model of one child policy till 10 years ago. I'm glad Xi Jinping got off that, but no, I mean they were following the globalist cheat.
And that's another.
You're going to ask me a question, but later we'll get back to it. What do you make of the clear break with the communist Chinese, the globalist?
Well, I think communists as a whole, I mean, the whole idea of communism is to have ruthless self-critique. You hear Stalin talk about that. You heard Mao talk about that. And the Chinese are very open about it. If you go to China, just average people, the government, the leaders, they're all very open about the problems that are facing their country and what they need to do to solve these problems. So when I went there, you know, I didn't really know what was kosher to talk about with people. And the people were just talking about the problems with me. They said, oh, you know, we have, we've got this problem that we're trying to deal with population and so forth. And we're, you know, applying these solutions to try and fix these issues. In the United States, the government, the people, everyone just acts like we don't have problems as our
country. Yeah, they tell us there's no inflation.
Yeah.
Or no inflation until 6 months ago. Now it's really bad, but they're going to fix it.
Yeah. So what I was going to ask you was, putting aside, you know, potential critiques you might have about China's surveillance or, you know, biometric stuff that they're doing, what do you dislike about China's economy? Because they've GDP purchasing power parity, they've far surpassed the United States. They've lifted tens of millions out of poverty. What are your problems, I guess, with China's economic structure?
Well, that's because they were given one-sided trade deals with the middlemen Trump talked about since the 1970s to transfer all the production capacity. They don't have the carbon taxes. They don't have their coal power plants being shut down. So they have cheaper energy. The globalists have built in economic tariffs against the West because they had deals with China to make more. As Trump, when he saw the deals, were like, wait, the Chinese make like 20%. The middlemen make like 60%. And then we make 20%. Mm-hmm. So he was like, you won't believe what the BlackRock, which is true. And you can see that as a command and control of Trump. No, it's not command and control to say, how did middlemen set up deals where only Chinese companies deal with this?
Yeah.
And Xi Jinping has pulled that back. That's why the middlemen are pissed. And now I'm broken with Xi Jinping. So I see that as a good break. It's just that's why China did. And they have smart people who are working. I'm not taking it away from them. Over a billion of them. I mean, that was, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think one interesting thing about China is that when Trump was...
Hold on, Jackson Hinkle, stay there. People can follow you on X at Jackson Hinkle. And that's the place to follow you?
Yes, only place.
And I'm Alex Jones at InfoWars.com, band.video, and Real Alex Jones. Please follow us there. Hour number two, straight ahead.
The 248-page patent for the Moderna technology that was administered to people in the COVID shots was filed in 2020. The patent lists several embodiments or variations of this technology. And while we don't know who got what embodiment, we know that several different batch numbers were deployed, and some were far more deadlier than others. According to the Moderna patent, this technology contains self-assembled nanoparticles, and in certain variations, these nanoparticles can be used for the controlled release of compounds once they are in the human body. These lipid nanoparticles are encapsulated into a polymer hydrogel, a controlled release coating that includes polyvinyls. This has been verified by Anna Mielchia and Clifford Carnicom's research. In a 2013 TEDMED talk, Dr. Ido Bachelet says that these nanorobots have already been successfully developed in Israel and that they can be injected into the human body with a basic syringe. He shows an image of what they look like, and they appear to be the same structures that the Fifth Column found in their research and claimed was powered by 5G, which was confirmed by Dr. Bachelet.
My team developed nanorobots that carry antennas. These antennae are made from metal nanoparticles. Now, the antenna enabled the nanobots to respond to externally applied electromagnetic fields. So these versions of nanobots can actually be activated with the press of a button on a joystick.
In the following video, it is being discussed by developers in 2015.
The nanorobot we designed and fabricated is a machine that can be programmed to autonomously recognize target cells and deliver payloads to those cells.
The basic idea is to make a cage or a basket that protects a fragile or toxic or precious payload and only releases it when it's at the right moment.
The nanorobot that we designed actually looks like an open-ended barrel or a clamshell that has two halves. So the two halves of this open-ended barrel or a clamshell are linked together by flexible DNA hinges, and the entire structure is held shut by latches or locks that are actually DNA double helices. The way it works is that in the absence of the key, which is a molecular protein, the duplexes are held sufficiently strong to maintain the entire structure closed. But when the key is present, that piece of DNA that we designed to recognize that key switches to bind to the key, and the duplex zips open.
The work of Todd Callender's team at VaxChoice.com have concluded that these shots contain a variety of synthetic pathogens that can be released with external 5G frequencies. The Moderna patent describes these nanoparticle mimics, which mimic the delivery of a variety of pathogens, and lists over 100 of them within the patent. And according to the work at VaxChoice, these synthetic pathogens each have an IP address. They are cataloged by the Department of Energy, and they use cesium-137, which we have been contaminated with from the environment, as a building block for their construction within our bodies using external frequency. And their research shows that the Microsoft patent filed in 2020, 060606, cryptocurrency system using body activity data, is now in effect, and that this technology is turning the human body into an antenna, which can output energy, meaning that humans are being turned into batteries to fuel the digital AI prison that is being built around us. And if you choose not to comply, the technology includes a built-in kill switch. Thanks to many independent researchers and scientists, we are figuring out their agenda, but they continue to walk freely among us, unrestrained by any justice whatsoever. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Jackson Hinkle is our guest. We're going to take a one-minute break, join a bunch of stations that don't carry the first 5 minutes, but check out the special report, Nanobots that release toxins and harvest energy from the body at band.video. All right, very interesting iconic class. Jackson Hinkle, a very successful talk show host here with us. You got cut off at the break talking about Trump, and I know the news, I cover it from China. They actually like Trump, people that don't know. Explain that, and then let's get your view on the election, all the things that are happening, this $95-plus billion to Ukraine, Russia's serious concerns and threats dealing with that. You've been to Russia recently, you've been to China recently. Get into that.
Yeah, as for the point we were discussing when we cut for break, what I was bringing up was, it was so interesting when I went to China, people referred to Trump as Comrade Trump, because just in the same way as Russia, their national, you know, companies, their, you know, Russian based entities, they've all benefited from the sanction war against Russia post Ukraine war. Chinese companies actually benefited from Trump's trade war because it cut out a lot of the middlemen that were associated with Chinese companies. And then they had to, in a massive scale, invest heavily in their own Chinese production, making a lot of parts and pieces for products that they didn't do so previously.
And that's what Trump said. He said, I'm not just China making money. We're cutting the middlemen out to help the people on both sides. Very sophisticated.
Yes. Yeah. So they called him Comrade Trump. The hardline nationalists in China love Trump. That was one thing I was really surprised by. But
I remember seeing even news articles in China where they liked him. Why was that? Because he just straight shot him?
Yes, yes. You know, the Chinese, no one in China buys all this, you know, the racial politics, the woke politics. When people say they ban and censor stuff in China, they're protecting the youth from the LGBTQ propaganda.
Well, that's the final equation. China and Russia ban the LGBT. It's force-fed here. What does that tell you?
I think it tells you that our leaders want to destroy our country.
And why, if it's their source of power, do they want that? Because they clearly want that. Why are they doing it?
Well, ultimately, when you have weak people that are not just mentally weak, but also strategically weak, when they have things that they hide, like our leaders in government who live degenerate lifestyles, I mean, it's very easy to control them. And that's exactly what we saw this week with the new surveillance bills they're passing and this $90 billion to Ukraine and Israel you're talking about. I mean, If you had people that actually represented the interests of the public in Washington, D.C., who are uncorruptible, you wouldn't have this happen.
I could tell the establishment, and I did, if you try to take Trump off the ballot and indict him, it's going to make him more popular. They don't seem to, they think one-dimensional, like, we'll just get him. Same thing with us. They made us way bigger attacking us, and they didn't do it to help us. They legitimately hate me, but they just can't think multi-move. They're not chess players, but they've been given the power of the central bank, so they are in charge, and they do have nuclear weapons.
Well, the young individual that filmed our conversation yesterday, the interview I did with you, he's from California, great filmer, and he was talking with me today, and he said, you know, everything they do to Trump makes me like him more. The lawsuits, putting him in prison, and that flows down to even us as political commentators or journalists. You look at the most famous journalists in America today, or people who have online personas, political personas, Candace Owens, Joe Rogan, Jimmy Dore, Tucker Carlson, yourself, and I don't want to put myself on that tier, but I definitely am viral on Twitter, on X, and we are all independent, and they have attacked us, they have banned us, they have sued you, trying to bankrupt you, they have they've gone after Tucker. They sicked Ukrainian agents on Tucker when he was in Russia trying to put an IED under his car bomb.
He doesn't make a big deal about that, but that was real.
That was real. I saw
it. The Ukrainians have blown a bunch of journalists up.
Yes, they blew up, they killed Daria Dugina, and I spent a good chunk of time with her father last time I was in Russia. And he's someone that respects a lot of the work you do as well.
He's been on before. I knew who he was, but I hadn't researched him. He should come back on.
Yeah.
You should come back. We should do a 3-hour commercial-free show with him.
I think that'd be great. And I definitely think he'd be very interested to do that. That would be an excellent conversation.
Well, he goes beyond capitalism, communism, right to cultures and what cultures' ethos is, their archetype. And it's totally true.
Yeah.
And Russia's a land power. And Putin says, we're the biggest country in the world. We got more assets than Africa. We don't need to take you over. We sold you Alaska for $500 million. We don't want to expand. China needs land. China needs to expand. Russia doesn't.
One of the questions I asked Alexander Dugin when I sat down with him, and I'm going to be releasing the video soon, but I said, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. I said, how can America develop its own American logos in a non-antagonistic way as the multipolar world
develops? That's non-Atlantean.
Yeah.
So go ahead. What did he say?
I'm curious to hear you. He said basically that America already has it. It's the people. It's MAGA. That's why he loves MAGA so much. And he said the problem is that you have, the big cities, you have the New Yorks, the Los Angeleses, San Franciscos, and they are defrauding the American public. They're waving the American flag as they, take your taxes to go bomb other countries. It's
I didn't hear his speech, but after I interviewed him, I read two of his books. He said what Thomas Jefferson said. He said farmers ought to run stuff because they actually live in the real world. And that's what Dugin's basically saying. Because nothing against city dwellers, folks. I'm a city boy, too, but I've worked on ranches and stuff. These average liberals have grown up in a high rise. They don't know how to do anything, even wipe their ass. And they're trying to make us all live like them. They don't know anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. It's why when you look at MAGA, it's just like normal people. That's why it's so welcoming. When you go to any Trump event, it's normal people. And you said earlier, you said, why are you such a big fan of Trump as a Stalinist? And the truth of the matter is, the way I describe it, I like a lot of things about Trump. I do. And I think he did a lot of good things. I think at the start of his administration, and you'd probably agree, there was a lot of bad people surrounding him that were
total infiltration. And by the way, when I first saw your show years ago, you said you were a Stalinist. I thought, this is a CIA guy, young, good looking, well articulate, trying to demonize Trump supporters, saying he's a Stalinist. I want to say this on the scale of evil, the transhumanists that want to end humanity in the family, they're the most evil. And then I see fascism and communism as really bad at totalitarian movements. But I don't blame you for your views and what you've have fallen in love with, because you're honest about it. But so instead of worrying about Stalinism that doesn't even exist now, the transhumanists are the dominant global cancer.
And they're Trotskyists.
Explain the paradigm, because people don't know this. This is not even my opinion. It's mainline news that Trotsky gets run out once Stalin gets in. He was kind of the brains behind a lot of things. He gets run out. He goes to Mexico. He gets killed by a Stalin assassin with a ice axe, dies. But they admit that National Review and the Republicans and the neocons are all agents of Trotsky, and that's why they're so anti-Russia. And so they flipped a conservative, but they're actually creating a total tyranny. So these labels mean nothing. Explain the paradigm or the dichotomy between Stalin and Trotsky and why that's so important.
Well, Trotsky is the embodiment of anti-human scum that now finds itself, in the new ideological inheritors, people like Mike Pompeo, for example, people I personally think Ron DeSantis, but, you know, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of really bad people that try to safeguard themselves by saying, oh, you know, we are anti-woke.
Well, and by the way, their ideology is Machiavellian sociopathic in their own writings from the Chicago Business School. I mean, they say we want total power.
They fully believe in the Malthusian worldview, 100%. They want to depopulate the earth. They want 500 million people or less left on the whole planet. I mean, this is their goal.
So talk about Trotsky, because he was fascinating.
Well, Trotsky was someone who defrauded Stalin. I mean, if you look at a lot of the early problems in the Soviet Union, such as the mass imprisonment of Orthodox Christians.
Targeting Christians was Trotsky.
Yeah, that was all Trotsky. And notice when it ended, it was when they kicked
Trotsky out.
And that's
why Russians love Stalin, is because he stopped the persecution.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Stalin, when he was younger, he almost became a minister in the Orthodox Church. He was studying to become that. And then later in life, he started to go to the Orthodox Church again. But he reopened the churches during World War II. And, when they kicked out Trotsky, everything got better.
And so you're saying that's why the American media attacked Stalin, was because, in my view, as bad as he was not the Trotskyites.
Yeah, that's why they love Trotsky, because the enemy of your enemy is your friend, according to mass media in the United States. And that's true for even historical figures like him. So, It should be no surprise that these people who hate Russia, who want to tear Russia apart, they're the same exact people who love Trotsky. They're the same exact families.
Well, Trotsky was the administrator that carried it out.
Klaus Schwab, for example, he loves Trotsky. You look at the families we mentioned.
Klaus Schwab loves Lenin. He has a bust in his office.
Well, I don't know if he read the same things that I read, if he loves Lenin. I don't know how you could. I think that You look at Klaus Schwab. I mean, he's the antithesis of everything that Lenin and Stalin and Mao stood for. He stands for the globalist deep state. He stands in direct alignment with Trotsky. I think what's interesting is if you look at all these people, and we mentioned this in the first segment, you look at the families that funded the rise of Hitler, like the Dulles brothers, the Bush family, Central Bank of London, all these sorts of things, they all now are the ones with the reins in the United States. And I think the only way that we can save our country is to completely break the shackles of foreign control, foreign influence, free America, zero foreign aid. And we talked about this yesterday. I don't want to spill too much about it, but I think one of the things that needs to be done is to liberate Canada. What do you think?
Well, we talked about that, and Tucker's right. I mean, Canada is now a WEF. The current enemy is the transhumanists. They're the ones that are the global force. They worked with China. China turned against them. So this is all breaking up. My larger issue is that I believe in real free market economics. The problem is we have a monopoly now with BlackRock with 88% control, and it's not communists. You call it fascists. It's corporate social engineering. It doesn't even have a political name. It's just anti-human. And by its very design is anti-human. So I'm glad Xi Jinping has pulled out of it. I'm glad Putin is openly opposing it. I can say that's good. We kind of have an ancestral memory, you know, to fight all of that. But I still see China, with its great control of Hollywood, still working with the Trotskyites to fund all this anti-Americanism.
I think a lot of that's overstated by the Defense Department. I think they want to make a boogeyman out of China when they could make peace with China. I think this stuff going on with the TikTok bill, I mean, I think there's very nefarious actors that are pushing that because they want to eventually take out Twitter or X. They want to take out Truth Social because we all know Truth Social is going to blow up when Trump wins the presidency. I think that there's a lot of things going on. They tell you, oh, China's bad, so we have to attack TikTok. And then the end goal has nothing to do with China. I mean, the CEO of ByteDance or whatever, he's from Singapore. And then they go on and use this legislation to attack the only free speech platform we have in the United States. And it's not even
completely. Well, that's right. That legislation lets them take over any platform.
Yeah.
So shifting gears from your political ideology, but just your world perspective, what is your gut level view on what's about to happen in the next 190 something days?
We have real criminals in Washington right now. I mean, we've never seen, I mean, of course they've always done it, but such a direct open assault through lawfare against, the former president and now the guy who's probably going to win. And they know they can't stop him. I mean, the numbers are very clear. And they also know it's a critical moment because Trump gets in. He's ending the Ukraine war. Trump gets in. He's probably going to bring peace to the Middle East, whether, every side's going to have opinions about his plans. But he is probably going to do those things. Trump's a man that does not like war. Colonel Douglas McGregor said it himself when I was talking to him. Trump does not like war.
Yeah, they called him anti-military. Because he says, I don't want troops to have their arms and legs blown off for no reason.
So the point is, it's like we should not be surprised based on whatever happens. Because at the end of the day, we saw what they did to JFK. We saw what they did to RFK. We saw what they did to, all these figures that stood up for peace and justice and just like, no more wars and sovereignty all across the world. I would not be surprised. I don't want to even put it out in the air. That's why I'm
I think they're going to try. They're going to kill Trump.
I don't want to put it out.
So, well, let's just put it out because the globalists are hard to beat because they don't have an ideology but deception. You can criticize a fascist. You can criticize a communist. You can criticize a capitalist. But they never say who they are. That's why they're so dangerous. And if you pull back from it and you look at it, these people are mentally ill. And they've inherited their power. And they're going 100% against humanity itself. And so I went and saw the movie finally, weeks after it came out, Civil War, last Thursday night. And a guy runs in the first 10 minutes with an American flag and blows up a group of migrants.
Yeah.
And I told my wife, 10 seconds in, I go, the president's Trump. He's a bad guy. He looks disingenuous. And then you learn that the Western forces are the good guys, and they're going... And they kill the Secret Service, who are all white, and they kill the president, a black woman does. I love everybody, folks. The point is, they're making it racial. So people said, oh, the film's not political. You never know who the good and bad. No, it's 100% clear. So Hollywood is saying America is about to fall, and it's going to be a race war that brings it in. And they're openly saying in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Post, if Trump gets reelected while he's president-elect, we're going to trigger a race war. And they overhead shot right here. And they've got bills introduced to strip him from domestic military power, the Insurrection Act that George Herbert Walker Bush declared in 92 during the LA riots. And they've got universities saying we're about to have a civil war. It's not a civil war. They're going to trigger a crisis to try to bring in a permanent coup. So that's how desperate these guys are. And America, in the hands of these people fully, is a disaster, and we've got to stop it.
You know, I don't think there should be term limits. I think that the system of, elections every 4 years, it causes, causes the incorrect people to take power in the United States. There's no system of meritocracy here, and I think it would benefit the United States a lot if we didn't have these corrupt systems. Like, what is that? They're saying that they're going to do another BLM, but worse. And then they're going to, I mean, BLM was a psyop. It was a color revolution on the American public. It's exactly what we do to every other country, but on the American public.
Yeah, the CIA runs coups everywhere and admits it. And they did it in Brazil. And now they're doing it here.
Yes. So, and now they're saying, just like they tell Thomas Sankara, just like they tell these leaders all across the world that face coups, Gaddafi, whoever it is, they tell them, no, you can't defend yourself. You can't fight for your sovereignty or else we're going to come in and assassinate you, put you in prison, whatever they do. Now they're telling that to Trump. They're saying, we're going to do this again to America. It's going to be worse this time. And if you don't like it, we're going to put you in prison.
And people ask me, they say, well, if they stole it from Trump 3.5 years ago, how do they do it again? They say, why would they need martial law or civil war? We've had the top statisticians on, election experts, if there's a flood and a giant landslide, they only have so many dead people that can vote. They only have such a large database compiled for $400-something million by Facebook. They run out of bullets. So a 60-65% landslide, they can't overcome that. So they're already preparing to then cause civil war in 190-something days. Put up on the screen, guys, how many days out. I mean, and I'm not just saying this to be alarmist. Folks, I don't say things to be alarmist. I want stability. We're 197 days out. I've got four children. I'm 50 years old. I don't want a war. I'm not looking for it. I'm not trying to scare you. They are legitimately preparing cyber attacks during the election. They're going to blame on Russia and China. That's in Vault 7. They staged those. You know, the whole Edward Snowden information, which they admit's real. And they are preparing to trigger racial civil war in America as the crisis to bring in this permanent dictatorship of the bureaucracy. So it's not just one person you got to target like Hitler. It's a thousand-head hydra. This is going to be the retaking of the republic and the rebirth of freedom worldwide, or it's going to be our death. I mean, we are literally on death watch right now. And I've carried out, in my own mind, every possible war game of what the globalists are doing with Russia and China and us and the borders. Even if they are able to set up a dictatorship in 190 days, that only makes their problems worse. And then we're in a real hell. And Klaus Schwab said, we'll make an angrier world where you blame your politicians. No, we're going to blame them. We're going to blame the Bill Gateses and the Leonardo DiCaprios and the Klaus Schwabs and the Obamas. Why would they build a world where they're having to build bunkers for themselves? Why wouldn't they just join what is pro-human and popular and great? They're already in power. They should do what Elon Musk has done. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but he was with them before. Run up the white flag and join us.
It's popular to do, but then you have people like Zuckerberg who are acting like they're a part of the team, acting like they're pro-human, and then they're still censoring, they're still leaking information from their platforms to foreign governments so they can drone strike little babies in different countries. They're still doing all that, but he's going to the UFC fights. You know, he's looking cool. And he's
doing got a tan and a beard and a gold chain.
But then he has the bunkers with the paramilitary units in Hawaii, like you said. You know, it's like,
oh, when I go to Hawaii, I go there because I love it. But also, the Hawaiians love me. And I mean, I'm not going to, like, I'm literally with the real people that run it. And they're like, what do we do? And they explain to me, and they show me, and we open a plane and get photos. I haven't released it yet. And it's like dozens of dump trucks leaving dump trucks coming in. They go, he's been there 3 years building a 10-story base with a super villain escape submarine. And he's got combat troops, combat robots, everything. Dude, that's not your exit plan. It's saving civilization.
Well, all those people, all the paramilitary are going to turn on him.
Oh, exactly. Oh, they're going to run that in 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not. It's not going to go anywhere.
The nukes drop. They're going to Zuckerberg's going to get shot in the back of the head. I'm not calling for this.
No,
he's dead.
Yeah,
in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think gulags are a better option than just killing people. But I think
my point is, I don't even want that. But he's literally lays the target in a pit like Hitler in the Reich Chancellery. He built a big grave for himself.
It's not going to go well. It's not going. But that's what I'm saying. They do these ops. They try to act cool. They try to act like they're normal. He's doing UFC now or MMA training. And at the end of the day, they're still
pull
all
up the photo. I tweeted
shills.
It. I said he's a real boy now. Don't go to my ex account. Pull up him and with the gold star. Go ahead, gold chain.
Yeah, that photo's terrifying. But, you know, the thing about that movie is you find it interesting. That movie and the Napoleon. You see the Napoleon movie?
Excellent.
You thought Napoleon was excellent?
I thought overall it was, it was well done, yeah.
Well, the thing with this movie is it was made by a British producer, if I'm not mistaken. It's like, why is a, this is just so insane. If a Chinese producer, if a Russian producer.
No. Be honest. I'm not saying it was but I thought overall it was an interesting film.
Napoleon?
The critics didn't like it.
I just thought they made him look very weak and cuckish and subservient and, you know.
Oh, I picked up on that. But I think historically.
Historically, I mean, they had him blowing, bombs at the Great Pyramids. That never happened. They just made that up. It happened pretty far away from the Great Pyramids. And then also the use of CGI was just a little bit over the top. I'm a fan of the Patriot. So I
love that too. Hey, there's Zuckerberg right there. Hey, the robot is put on camouflage. All right, let's come back and talk about where this is all going with Jackson Hinkle. Stay with us. Now, I picked up the cut part of the weak male in Napoleon that Jackson Hinkle was talking about, but I've been overall, compared to what I expect from Hollywood, but they didn't promote it, it was overall, a lot of it was historical, I'd say 90% accurate, where the Russians, you know, burned down their major cities so they don't get control of it. But in the time we've got left here, points you want to make, is you're a smart guy, watch your show, even though I don't agree with where you politically want to go, your observations, I think, are dead on. You got the floor. What do you want to say to folks?
I want to say, if you live in America, we're living in a very, very, very scary time, not just because we have Joe Biden, not just because we've got this looming election. It's a banana republic we're living in. But I think the biggest problems that we need to reckon with are the fact that, and you know, maybe you have disagreements with me on this, but as more and more countries join BRICS, the New Development Bank, we've got 40 countries that are going to be applying to join BRICS this June.
No, that's just a fact. Everything the West has done under Biden has accelerated the end of the American empire.
But you're talking about these Middle Eastern oil giants, gas giants that are now going to be part of this. We already got Iran in there. 7 of the top 10 oil producing nations are already in BRICS. Only 2 of the top 10 are G7 nations. That means the dollar's going to collapse. The dollar is going to be coming to an end. And we have to have smart people who are willing to come together and learn from history as to what actually works for picking up the pieces of this country when it collapses. And it's none of this, you know, BS fiat currency stuff that we're currently working with. I mean, we're going to have to look at, you know, commodity-backed currencies. We're going to have to look at massive reindustrialization of our country. We're going to have to look at all this stuff. But ultimately, the real truth is that if we do that, we're going to have NATO on our borders. We're going to have people who are trying to destroy us from within. We are going to have a real fight on our hands. And I don't want that. I don't think anyone is suggesting that or promoting that. But that's just the truth. If the Patriots take control, as you always say, Alex, if 7076 spirit really comes to this country, we're going to have a lot of enemies on our hands that are going to be trying to stop us with every single step.
Well, there's no doubt that globalism, transhumanism is the main attack. We hear about Hitler all day and the fascism, and anybody that's pro-family's Hitler, and it's ridiculous, the ADL and what they're doing, and they're allowed, and then they're allied with radical Islam. And then we hear about communism is going to get us. But really, global corporate technocracy promoting a transhumanist agenda. We're up against technocrats who are on a power trip looking for immortality who are transhumanists. Let's address the enemy.
Think about if we didn't have X. If we didn't have X,
Yeah, what's your view of Elon Musk? I'm going to ask that.
View of Elon Musk is, I think he's a very smart man, obviously very successful businessman. And I think he understands everything that's happening. I mean, you see him post the memes about Iran and all the U.S. military bases around Iran. He says the stuff like, Israel's the best recruiter for Hamas because they kill so many families. He understands this stuff, but he's a businessman first and foremost, so he puts his business first. And given that he's the richest man in the world, I guess you can't entirely fault him for having that frame of mind.
And you can't fault him for knowing the old system's going down. You could say, well, he's an opportunist that sees they're failing, so he wants to jump over. Exactly. If we want to change culture and society, we can't be like, oh, well, you weren't perfect before, or I don't trust you. Doesn't mean we trust him. We watch his actions now are good. In Brazil, they're trying to arrest him. He's devastating. Now they admit the CIA funded Lula, who's a communist on paper, against Bolsonaro, who's actually empowering the people. I mean, they are coming after Musk. It's not fake. It's real.
Bolsonaro is interesting because at the end of his presidency, it seems like the deep state wanted to get rid of him. Bernie Sanders even said that they sent the CIA down there to secure the elections for Lula when he was coming in.
And that's all come out.
Yeah. But Bolsonaro, what was he doing at the end of his presidency? He was forging very close and new ties, something Russia. With Russia and China, which he rejected at the start of his presidency. At the end, he was moving towards China again.
Because We already get all our goods from China anyways. Why not, you Trump, make them give us some of the money for American citizens? It's all about a better deal. And so, oh, we reject Russia and China, so the middlemen get total control. That's what we have to exert our power, so we're a fourth player instead of just sitting here mindlessly going along with it.
Yeah, no, we have to. If we allow it to continue, America's going to crumble and we're going to be just left with ash and dust. We need America to be a very strong player in this world.
Well, that's why I say the labels mean nothing. Lula, the current with the Supreme Court making him a dictator, no one can run against him. He's a communist, but it's not. It doesn't even mean anything. He's a tool of the IMF and World Bank and the globalists. I'm just saying these labels mean nothing. It's actions.
Yeah.
That's why people got to study what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I think you're 100% correct. He calls himself a socialist. And, you know, you look at socialists, you look at communists, you look at all these different leaders. It's exactly right. You have to look at how they act, whether they're willing to stand up to power, whether they're willing to challenge the sources of power. Lula's a pawn of the power. He was literally installed by the CIA in effect. Bernie Sanders admitted it on The Intercept with like Mehdi Hasan.
They all admit
crazy. It was crazy. So, you know, you look at that.
And what does he want? Forced injections. Like something like 100,000 parents had their kids grabbed under Lula until they took the shot.
You know what?
I mean, my God, your kid gets grabbed at school. You see, the federal government said last week, we're going to force inject kids.
Yeah.
I call that evil, not communist, not fascist, not transhumanist. These labels are distracting. It's capitalist, but it's not capitalist. And it says we own your body and we're going to take your kids and force inject them. Let's get past Trotsky's labels. Let's say no to Trotsky's.
Trotsky's. And you know, the thing about Lula also.
Oh, you don't just say that. Trotskyism is a virus that infected American Republican Party and is the neocons. It's not debated in people that read the actual history. It's literal, the ghost of Trotsky.
Yeah, I think if Stalin had gotten rid of more of the Trotskyists, I think we'd have far less problems in America. I think that's the truth. I don't think we'd have these neocons.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I don't think we'd have any of these.
I'm not a fan of Joseph Stalin, but I'm a fan of him going after Trotskyites. I wish that none of them got out.
I think they missed some of the Banderites in Ukraine, too, given what we're seeing today. But the last thing I wanted to say about Lula, that the reason why the United States loves Lula and loves India so much is because they are big countries. They are countries with lots of resources, but they're big and weak. They don't have any true sovereignty. That's the difference between them and Russia and China.
I'm going to skip this break, but explain that. And I would say China has 1.3 billion people, really smart folks, dominates rare earth minerals because the West put them in that position when they were them setting up a middleman operation. So I see China as the real globalist client. Russia left that system, I see as the true outlier, not saying they're perfect, but truly not under that system. That's why it's the number one enemy of the Hollywood and the Rob Reiners and the George Soros of the world. But explain how big Russia is. I mean, it's bigger than Africa geographically, and it's one country.
Yeah.
The land Africa is a continent. Russia's a country bigger than a continent.
The landmass is incredible. It's huge. I mean, you've got basically in Russia, you've got they have 89 different regions, and you know they're adding new ones each and every day. As Putin says, Russia's borders are limitless. And
I saw a statistic; they have like 9 Rocky Mountains, basically.
Yeah. There's a Russian regions exhibit at this place called Vidyanha in Moscow, and you go there.
That's where I want to go, not because it's. I want to see.
Yes.
Like imagine 90% no people. What is that?
Yes, you go there and they have each different region and they have people from each region and they have photos, videos, things you can interact with. And it's like, that's Lake Tahoe. This is the Rockies. This is West Virginia. This is Phoenix. You see all the different parts of America multiplied times 5 in all these different regions. It's why Russia has so many minerals that they're still finding, all this
gold and
silver.
And we should be in an economic
silver.
Deal instead of war. Oh, my God. I mean,
You'd think. But that's not what they want. They want total control. Total control. They will not settle for peace.
Well, they
want to
tell us that's
our
resources. Humans congregate together because that's where business is. You fly an airplane over America, 90% of it's empty, just like Russia.
Yeah.
But it's 4 times bigger.
And then they tell you that you have these people go out and tell you that we don't have enough resources to sustain life on Earth. It's like, no, we have enough resources to sustain like.
I've seen the time lapse videos in Russia where a plane flies for 3 hours at night and you see no lights.
Yeah.
A plane's going 600 miles an hour. There's nothing down there.
We've got plenty of land, plenty of resources. We could sustain 100 billion people. Like, I don't care. We can have as many people as we want. And technology will allow that to happen eventually. I mean, that's what's going to happen if the globalists don't get their way. But
we'll turn the North Pole green, South Pole.
I think that's good. I mean, I think it'd be really cool to have, like, you know, trade and,
I mean, the North's ice, but you can still do it. But the South, you can do it.
Well, Putin says that, right? He said that the North is the future of Russian economy, and they're investing heavily in all that stuff and making sure that they can do trade through it. And
well, carbon tax is about, you know, knocking out Americans and Russians.
How so?
Well, cutting off the resources. I mean, even Elon Musk says we can't get rid of carbon. We need that.
But how does a carbon tax impact in America impact Russia negatively?
Because it hasn't worked so far, but they thought that would cut them off.
Interesting. All their policies are failures.
But the sanctions made Russia make more money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Russia's economy is on track to be the fastest growing in Europe this year.
Which shows why the globalists are stupid.
According to GDP purchasing power parity, Russia has the fifth largest economy on Earth. That's like the first time that's happened in 14 years or something.
Yeah, usually it's not as big as California.
It's the largest largest economy in all of Europe.
And
right
by
now.
The way, how is a country four times the size of the U.S. have a GDP of California?
They lie. You get people like Dan Crenshaw that go out and say, oh, it's just a gas station with nukes. It's like, Dan Crenshaw, what do you know? You know, it's like, You know nothing about Russia.
Look, they got a video of Dan Crenshaw doing bad stuff.
Of course. Of course. It's,
I mean,
it's
I don't know that, but I can take one look. That guy is a monster.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's a veteran. Did he lose his eye in war?
All I know is the guy is, he gets up and says, I'm the most conservative member of Congress. Don't believe the other people that are against me. You look at his voting record, it's horrible.
People say America first, and then they say Ukraine second, Israel third, so on and so forth. It's like, no, America, I don't even like that. I like free America. Free America from any foreign influence, any foreign aid.
But
nothing.
America's not first. Ukraine gets $60 billion. Israel gets $21 billion. I mean, have you seen the bill they just passed?
What I'm saying is I like America first, but I think when you say America first and then, like, you know, I like Patrick Bet-David, but I think he did a video this week where he was saying, I support America first, but I support Israel second or something. And it's like, well, that's really like, not, America first means zero to
any
other
country. I totally agree with you. It's not America first, it's America free.
Yeah, free America. Free America. I just launched an organization, Institute for a Free America. We're doing live shows across the country. May 24th, Dearborn, Michigan.
You host it. I'm going to take a piss because I've been sitting there an hour and a half. You talk to folks. You're hosting right now.
Okay. Well, give me a topic.
Anything you want to talk about.
All right. All right. Let's see here. Anything I want to cover. Let's cover something that Alex and I briefly talked about yesterday in our interview that's going to be available on my X account in the next 3 days. We talked about the subject of Africa. I asked Alex the question. I said, you know, if you'd ask anyone 100 years ago, you know, do you think China is going to become the number one superpower in the world? And I know people don't like China, but the truth is, according to GDP purchasing power parity, they are. They're the number one manufacturing power. They are the number one economy. You look at the U.S. economy, 95% of the U.S. economy is just fake. It's stock buybacks. It's these debt traps. I mean, it's literally nothing. Think about the average American worker. What do they do when they go to work? They do like marketing for an LGBTQ friendly, like, insurance company. It's like, what even is that? It's nothing, right? China's producing, Russia's producing. And the point I was trying to make when I asked this question to Alex, I said, what do you think about the future for Africa? Because Africa is kind of in a similar position today as China was 100 years ago. I mean, huge population, huge amounts of resources. And I was curious to hear his answer. And he said, look, I think Africa is, you know, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but Africa is in some way the future. You know, Africa will develop. Africa is the future. You get these crazy people, you know, online that say, well, Africa, you know, Africans have low IQ. They have low IQ, you know. Well, sorry, IQ's fake. They just made it up. I mean, if you actually look at IQ tests, it's all fake. And I thought his answer was really cool. Maybe we'll get him to talk a little bit more about the future of Africa. in a second as he walks back in. But I just thought it was a brilliant answer. And, you know, he went into detail in the interview, and you'll see it then when it's released. We're talking about Africa, future of Africa.
Well, I mean, look, IQ is a complex issue. It really is designed for people that are already in that culture. It's a very limited test. But you can take white people or you can take Hispanics or Asians and stick them in a starvation situation where they get half the calories they need in a low-fat diet with their children, and their brains are going to be smaller. They're going to have low IQs. But they've got major studies with animals and with humans. If you take them and give them a high-fat, healthy nutrient content, you need fat to grow a brain, the blacks are just as smart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's nature. If you give the blacks the fat they need in development, the breast milk, which they want to take away from everybody, which is what brain, you know, oh, we got a formula. It's all about the scientists. American, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, mixed, whatever, if you've been drinking formula, I'm not against the parents that did it. Some mothers can't give milk. The brain's much smaller. Like, wow, women have breasts for a reason. It's designed for you. That's why in the old days they got a donkey, cows weren't the best, or you got a horse was closer to human, or a goat, or a sheep, and it would give a closer milk, and then you would go pay a farmer to give that to your child if you couldn't produce milk, and the child would be okay. Those are closer, high-fat deals. It's not the same with a cow. So the first big thing is you got to have fat. You've got to have that in development. So you can take a white baby or a black baby. You don't give them fat, you're going to get a stupid person. So, yeah, major low calories. I mean, you go to the, you know, Appalachians and stuff where the kids are malnourished and they're low IQ. So number one, Africans are hardworking compared to spoiled rotten Americans, whether it be black or white on average. And Africa's beautiful, and it's a real potential. And the Chinese know that. That's why they're there. Instead of exploiting Africa, we should be building up Africa and getting rid of totalitarian regimes. And then we could make Africa a jewel. And I think the answer is to make all the world, from North Korea to areas of Africa, jewels, so that everybody can make, because the potential's unlimited. And the globalists know that. That's why they're against the Renaissance, trying to suppress development, because once we turn humanity loose, it's unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have competition.
I think that's the defining nature of, you know, these Chinese loans, is that they're not attached to anything. It's just a loan. It's, and they're actually much they're structured in a much better way for the people. And China, Russia are forgiving Africa's loan every single week, it seems like.
Well, I mean, look, bottom line, babies need fat.
Bottom line is
they don't need poison Bill Gates shots. They need fat.
Some of these IQ tests they're giving out and using to judge entire countries' populations on their IQ levels. Like, they're giving out IQ tests to, like, people who are illiterate. They can't even read the tests. These IQ, the studies are,
it's not gauging their potential.
Yes. Yes. So, I don't know. I just think it's silly when people bring that stuff up.
But then the left of sabotage says you don't need a test to fly an airplane. We have to figure out ways to boost that and then bring people in, but then you don't create quotas to do it.
What is your ideal diet? Because there's all this stuff.
Well, look,
carnivore, Ray Pete.
Good. Yeah. I'm not perfect. I've been under a lot of stress. I do things I shouldn't do, but I know the science. People should be eating 30-40% raw vegetables and 60% the best thing is red meat. And if it's not burned, then you don't get any of the trans fats or any of the toxins. And not, I know the statistics. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, because I still love mashed potatoes and whatever, and a bowl of cereal, which is poison. It's full of chemicals, too, because they spray it with Roundup, you know, even the wheat they do now when it's ripe, so that fungus doesn't grow. But you know, I mean, 60% red meat, 40% raw vegetables with no oil on them. You do that, you're going to live to 100 years old. You know, and your brain's going to be huge.
When I was in Russia, I was traveling. I ate poorly. Like, I went to the McDonald's equivalent in Russia. I had the room service and stuff. And I didn't watch what I was eating. I usually just eat, like, pretty heavily red meat diet. And I come back and I lost weight after eating.
Oh, no. There have been American computer programmers and stuff that live in Eastern Europe eating bacon and five eggs. And they lose weight because there's not the hormones and chemicals.
Yeah. It was crazy. And my colleague,
look at our ancestors. They ate pie twice a day and huge meals. And they were all skinny and healthy. It's the chemicals, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. We My colleague Haz Aldeen, he had the same thing. He came back from Russia and he lost weight, and we both ate the same thing. I mean, the Russians, they give you all the food
you want.
That's
because they give hormones to the chickens, the pigs, and the cows that make them fatter, and they're full of antibiotics, so it does that to you.
What do you think they have on Mike Johnson?
I mean, look, not just his actions. You take one look at him, that's a disingenuous person. So the number one thing they blackmail you with is gay sex. I don't know that, but I kind of, my gaydar kind of goes off with him. So I wonder if he's like, you know, in the, and this is speculation, but I wonder if he's in the congressional chambers, you know, banging the pages. But I mean, it's something like that.
Well, the thing that scared me,
it might be insider trading, but you know, I'll just say gaydar, my pedo dar goes off.
Yeah. The thing that was scary about what Tucker said on...
That's going to be a viral clip. My pedo radar is going off on Mike Johnson. I'm not saying he's raping kids, but if I was going to cast somebody for a movie, two guys are driving a van that kidnap kids, it's him and Brian Stelter. I'm not saying Brian Stelter does that. I'm just saying if I was going to cast somebody that runs a dungeon full of kidnapped kids and makes snuff films, Mike Johnson would be cast immediately as the lead star.
Yeah. I think so.
Think that'll make him sick, the CIA on me a little more?
I think so.
So I just say what I think.
He's probably very good friends with that CIA officer that was coming after you. What do you think about like the physiognomy of that guy, of that CIA officer, like the way he looks? Well, like what's the
I can't say on air how they scooped him up, but you know that group that split off before they shut down Veritas was Catholic Fund. They're good guys. They're pro-life.
Yeah, yeah.
They expose Pornhub targeting kids. They only target pedophiles. So they were doing a dragnet on pedophiles in D.C. and came up with this FBI CIA operative attacking me.
That's how they found that guy?
Well, I'm not saying he...
Somehow... Wow.
And they were doing a pedo dragnet.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So you like hook your line up for bass, you throw it in, you catch, oh, you know. So he's not a bass. We're not saying, no. They got a different fish.
Yeah.
You know, probably.
Wow.
But that's who they hauled up.
Wow.
Well, who else? I mean, you know. I mean, we know what we're up against here.
That's incredible. That's it. And that's why, again, Tucker in that interview with Joe Rogan, he said the people who seem to be the most feared of the intelligence community are the people on the oversight board for the intelligence community, because they know what they're capable of. They get the threats, and they've probably seen it used against certain members before.
Well, people lionize the intelligence agencies. They're gigantic. It's like saying, my brother works at Walmart. I mean, it's that big. It's not like, oh, they're not like James Bond. They're like that guy. A big, soft, sick, evil spider hiding in the dark.
But don't you think that there's those, the dark money, the dark funded organizations that are probably smaller, that are, you know, tasked with like watching certain senators and congresspeople? There are probably some smaller organizations and factions that are targeted just on members of Congress.
Oh, I would say most of the intelligence agencies target power.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say. And again, the average FBI agent, average CIA agent's like doing analysis on the Kurds in Syria, or they're doing analysis of bank robberies here. Most of them are good men and women. But at the top, it's all bad people. And the most common denominator is they rape kids.
Yeah. Speaking of, one subject we didn't get to cover yesterday was Diddy.
You asked me the question and I got a phone call. I had to take a break. I mean, no, I don't know if he worked with the CIA, but it's the same model. It's Jeffrey Epstein 2.0. I mean, it's all over. Oh, it's Hollywood's full of that. It's all about compromise.
It seems like what it was. I mean, you have someone as powerful as that, and then he's just leveraging everyone based upon these videos he's taking. It's the same exact thing.
Very informative interview, Jackson Hinkle. People can find you on X at Jackson Hinkle, at Jackson Hinkle. Thank you so much. 20-second closing comment.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's very surreal to be here. As I've said multiple times, I'm a big fan of your work. You're exposing the truth. And I hope to see everyone in Dearborn, Michigan, May 24th, Institute for a Free America. We're having an incredible event. It's on my Twitter.
All right. Thank you. You're flying out tonight.
Yes.
All right. The great Chase Geyser takes over now. Stay with us.